Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited to join us, take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 is the phone number to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And I don't track these things very closely because at the moment, it really has no direct meaning to me and my life what the cryptocurrency values are doing. But as I understand it, Bitcoin, it plummeted to below $50,000 a day or two ago, and it's since regained a little bit back to the $51,000 price range. And there's all sorts of things to say about cryptocurrency and what's going on right now. Of course, nobody really understands why the value of Bitcoin plummeted almost 20%, I think.
And anyone who claims to, I just write off as ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can identify, okay, well, this is a contributing factor. But anyone who's like, oh, this is the reason why this happened, no one knows. And no one knows what it's going to do next. Although, based on historical trends, I'm still saying that we're likely to see extreme gains in December and January.
I sure hope so. I mean, that would be nice.
That tends to be how this goes during the winter months.
Tends to, but there's no guarantees that old patterns are going to continue to repeat themselves. And you're referencing the fact that both you and I are prohibited from actually using cryptocurrency under some ridiculous bail conditions in the Crypto 6 case. You can learn more about that at thecrypto6.com. But I still find myself absolutely transfixed and fascinated by what goes on in the crypto world. There's always so many really interesting developments and exciting things happening out there, and the governments are sweating.
Absolutely.
That is fun to watch.
I mean, I can't use cryptocurrency or access cryptocurrency or engage with it in any meaningful sense, right?
Right.
But I can watch it from a distance. And I love what I'm seeing.
And I know that a lot of my friends are, deep within that world, and they're doing everything they can to advance cryptocurrency acceptance and the technology behind it, and that all of those things can happen without government permission. It's just such a wonderful thing. I was just saw a post from Eric Voorhees, who's a Free State Project participant. He's the founder of Shapeshift, which is one of the earliest sort of permissionless shape websites that allow you to change from one cryptocurrency into another.
And they recently decentralized.
They're in the process still of becoming a decentralized autonomous organization. They have not yet fully shut down the corporation, from what I understand, but they are in the process, and they expect to do that sometime, I think, within the next several months, maybe the next year at most. They've created the decentralized autonomous organization. It is essentially running the ship at this point over there.
Nice.
And they're making proposals and voting on them. And I think they just got listed on Coinbase, the Shapeshift Fox token, which is doing very, very well from what I understand. So.
See, and that makes me sad because I never paid any attention to the Shapeshift Fox token. I never kept track of what my login information was. So anytime I wanted to use Shapeshift, I just created a new account. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I probably amassed a fair bit of these Fox tokens. Not that it would do me any good right now, but it would still be nice if I had even bothered to keep track of them.
Well, at some point, presumably, you will no longer be on bail conditions, and you could, access those things again. Maybe
that's true.
Be worth more than when you went on bail conditions. Who knows?
I could definitely brute force what email addresses and passwords were in use at the time.
He posted a video on his Twitter profile to this Gary Gensler character, who is the head goon over at the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is the federal government gang agency that regulates, like, stock trading and stuff like that.
It's unclear what they do because I'm not really sure what a security is.
I have no idea. I've looked it up time and time again. I'm just not I'm not one of these fiscal experts or whatever.
I mean, they make this stuff to be as confusing as possible.
Yeah. And so this Gensler, he's the head goon. He's the one who's been putting his nose as deeply as it can go up these cryptocurrency companies and making their life very, very difficult. He's the guy that brought the lawsuit against Library and Odyssey, for instance. And
he also threatened to go after Coinbase, who has been, you know, massaging politicians in Washington, D.C. The SEC, I believe, was the only organization they couldn't get in touch with when they went to Washington, D.C.
I think you might be right about that. And so anyway, what he was, you know, he was blathering on about how, you know, innovation is happening and needs to be done under the umbrella of the government, and just really just making it sound like it's because of the government is why things are innovative. And it's not just anything to be further from the truth.
It's sort of true, right? The government creates hurdles and roadblocks, and people have to find innovative ways around those hurdles and roadblocks.
That's one way to look at it, for sure.
So in that sense, government does cause innovation, but not in the way that this government goon wants people to believe.
Yeah, and Eric was pointing out that all the exciting innovation is happening in the cryptosphere, where government is not involved for the most part. I mean, the government gang wants to be involved. They really want to regulate. They really want to control this particular area, and they're doing their damnedest to try.
Yeah, but since 2009, 2010 or so, that ship has long sailed. It's way beyond the reach of governments at this point.
Well, they're doing their best. I mean, they are cracking down on exchanges and individuals. And they want to go after stable coins now as well. So anybody that's got a centralized location inside the United States or in any other governmental zone, the European Union or whatever, look out, because these guys are after you. They understand that you're a threat. They've woken up now. Okay, so it used to be, you know, in the early days, it was like, oh, crypto, what's that? Oh, they're just buying drugs with it online. Well, we'll just arrest the drug website operators and put them in prison for two life sentences and plus 40 years, or one of them. They haven't done that to any of the other ones. I'm not saying they should, but poor Ross Ulbricht is going to spend the rest of his life in prison unless he gets a pardon or a commutation from Joe Biden. That seems highly unlikely, although I still hope for the best.
With his VP being Kamala Harris, it's not extremely likely.
Well, with Joe Biden being one of the worst arch drug warriors in the U.S. history, I mean, I think he's written some of the drug war, worst of the worst legislation. So
he was at least in the Senate when it happened. I mean, he created the drug war. He at least played a role in its creation.
For sure. And so anyway, they're trying their damnedest to crack down on cryptocurrency, but it's a tough game because, you know, Voorhees is saying, all the innovation is happening outside of their reach. And, you know, if finance truly becomes decentralized, then there's nothing that they can do about it ultimately.
No, except, that's their biggest fear.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what this guy was, this Gensler was commenting on about DeFi versus central finance, and there really wasn't much to it.
That's going to make us obsolete.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to admit that, but that's essentially what Hillary Clinton said the other week. She actually said, our time is running out. She said something like that.
Their time has run out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're done. They're on their way out. They've been defeated. They just don't realize it yet.
That viewpoint.
They're going to make some extremely devastating actions in their death throes, but they are in the throes of death. Although the CIA doesn't know that. They have a number of different projects focused on cryptocurrency, saying that they are deep in cryptocurrency. And that's alarming. There's a long-running conspiracy theory among a small number of cryptocurrency enthusiasts that Bitcoin's anonymous inventor, Satoshi Nakamoto, was actually the CIA, or another three-lettered agency.
We had a lady call in one night, and she seemed crazy, and she was advocating this particular conspiracy theory. There's no evidence for it whatsoever. It's just pure conjecture.
Yeah, I certainly don't buy it, and I don't think there's any cryptocurrency enthusiasts out there who believe that it was actually created by the CIA.
Yeah, well, usually when you hear that mentioned, it's used as an excuse to not get into Bitcoin. It's usually somebody who is a critic of Bitcoin saying, oh, I wouldn't touch that. It was the CIA behind Bitcoin.
Yeah, the C in Bitcoin stands for CIA.
Which makes no sense when you actually you don't have to think about it real long. I don't think the people who advocate this particular conspiracy theory know anything about Bitcoin. They just know, this is a big financial thing, and so therefore government must be behind it. One of the key points about Bitcoin is that it's open source. And that's sort of counter to what the CIA is all about. They're all about secrecy. Like, they're a secret organization. They have secret torture facilities. They have secret programs, secret black budgets. Why in the world would they release a program that is visible to the entire world?
I don't think they would, but some people seem to think so, and that theory is having a fresh day in the sun. And we'll tell you why. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, do you think Bitcoin was a creation of the CIA? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk.
Investors, listen up. There's been incredible demand in the market for companies focused on strategic mineral exploration. And right now, mineral discovery groups are piling into British Columbia's prolific Golden Triangle due to the massive discovery potential. China's economy is slowing down. Consumer goods remain in short supply. Pandemic-induced disruptions continue to affect global supply chains. And now the markets are bracing for interest rate hikes. All of this reads like a recipe for paying attention to companies focused on precious metals and in-demand minerals. Find out about the hottest companies leading the charge to revolutionize the multi-billion dollar mineral exploration market for free when you text the word HOT to 71441 for your free subscription to DearWallStreet.com. Text the word HOT to 71441 now to get information on these hot companies that we've identified. Get free intelligence on this hot market delivered directly to your mobile device from DearWallStreet.com when you text the word HOT to 71441. Text and data rates may apply. Text HOT to 71441.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live, where you are invited to join us, talk about whatever
whatever is important to you, or talk about cryptocurrency, one of our favorite subjects here on the show. 603-283-6160. That's the number if you'd like to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. You may be sitting there wondering, well, what is this Bitcoin thing that people keep talking about? Head on over to Bitcoin.com, click Getting Started at the top of the page. Take a few minutes out of your day to just watch a few of these short videos, learn the basics of this world-changing important technology that, in my opinion, has already defeated the established financial system. The institutional financial system just hasn't quite realized it yet. You can dive as deep into this subject as you want. They have a lot of information there for you to learn all about it. If you already know about cryptocurrency, you can still stay up to date on all of the news and headlines that are relevant to you at news.bitcoin.com. All on a sleek, easy-to-use modern website. That's bitcoin.com. The latest is that the fringe theory that cryptocurrency and Bitcoin were created by the CIA is making rounds again, as the CIA Director William Burr said on Monday that the intelligence agency, quote, has a number of different projects focused on cryptocurrency, which could mean anything. Burns made his comments at the tail end of a talk at the Wall Street Journal CEO Summit. Interesting place for the director of the CIA to be. After discussing everything from the possible Russian invasion of Ukraine to the challenges of space, someone in the audience asked if the agency is on top of cryptocurrencies, which are currently at the center of the ransomware epidemic. Oh, man. Just hearing that phrase makes me so glad I don't do IT anymore.
Ransomware?
Yeah. I do not miss dealing with it, and it's so easy to prevent from being a problem that people just don't do it. Like, all you have to do is back up your stuff, and trying to convince a client that it's necessary to do this so they don't get hit with ransomware is impossible until they get hit with ransomware.
It'll never happen here.
Right. But it will, inevitably. And U.S. officials are attempting to get a handle on the ransomware epidemic. This is the first I've heard about that. And stamp it out. Here's what Burns said. This is something I inherited. My predecessor had started this, but had set in motion a number of different projects focused on cryptocurrency and trying to look at second and third order consequences as well. I don't know what that means.
Me neither.
And helping with our colleagues and other parts of the U.S. government to provide solid intelligence on what we're seeing as well. It sounds like he just knows the CIA is doing something with cryptocurrency with sort of a shrug. I mean, yeah, we know about it. This is hardly surprising, given the focus ransomware is getting from every corner of government. Again, I don't know what they're talking about. I'm not seeing any major headlines daily on Drudge Report about ransomware attacks. This year, a ransomware attack targeting a pipeline led to a shutdown, panic buying, and a gas shortage in several states.
Yep, that one made some headlines.
That one did. I do remember that one.
That was like April.
But I mean, one ransomware attack that makes headlines is not necessarily an epidemic. Or a pandemic, or whatever the correct terminology would be. Cryptocurrencies could have enormous impact on everything from ransomware attacks, as you mentioned, because they're the only way that ransomware attacks have ever been possible. A ransomware attack couldn't work if you had to wire $15,000 to someone's bank account. Your bank would just pull it back as soon as you said, oh, this is for ransomware. Moving on, quote, because one of the ways of getting at ransomware attacks and deterring them is to be able to get at the financial networks that so many of those criminal networks use, and that gets right at the issue of digital currencies as well. Basically admitting that, you know, the financial system, though it's flawed, it can undo payments, and that's why ransomware has never really been possible prior to the existence of cryptocurrency. Crypto Twitter had a field day with Burns' comments with varying degrees of seriousness, which proliferated via, what else, a tweet from the frequently apocalyptic Tyler Durden-authored blog Zero Hedge. I don't see them as a cryptocurrency expert blog, Zero Hedge.
I don't know. I don't spend much time reading it. I mean, we have had the occasional story from them on the air here, but I'm by no means a follower of the blog, so I can't speak to that.
I absolutely can't either. If it came out and was proven that Bitcoin was created by the CIA, it wouldn't significantly diminish my bullishness, said Spencer Schiff, who is a Bitcoin promoter.
This is the son of Peter Schiff.
Yes, evidently they were having a spat on Twitter in the last
recent
few days.
Yeah.
It's hard to say if it's just for show or if it's just them trying to play both sides or if it's just, you know, a rebellious son being like, hey, no, look, you're old and you're wrong here.
Yep, you're wrong, Dad.
Yeah, let's move on. The only thing it would change is my view of Satoshi, but crucially, Satoshi is not Bitcoin. That connection was severed years ago. He's right on that, although I would say that it would alter my view of Bitcoin. Despite it being open source, I don't have the technical expertise by a long shot to dive into the code and figure out whether or not there are back doors.
Well, the reality is Bitcoin is one of the, maybe the most reviewed code on the planet. I mean, just think about it. Like, there's literally, what is it, $1 trillion now in market cap for Bitcoin? I'll pull up the numbers here over at CoinGecko. Oh, no, not quite a trillion because it did have that dip down. So $952 billion market
cap. Basically a trillion.
Just on this one cryptocurrency, there's a huge level of interest in making sure that Bitcoin is what it says it is and that there are no back doors. There's no funny business going on in there. And there's not. You know, there's never been a single scandal regarding the code of Bitcoin. There have been scandals regarding cryptocurrency exchanges being hacked. Another one just got hacked.
Yeah, I saw that for like $196 million.
Yeah, almost $200 million worth of coins got hacked there. So, yeah, there's centralized exchanges that have problems, and there's people that have security issues. They don't put a password on their wallet or whatever. But the actual code behind Bitcoin is rock solid, and it is reviewed by a lot of eyeballs. So, again, it just doesn't make any sense that the CIA would be involved here in any way, shape, or form, especially given that Satoshi Nakamoto ostensibly built this thing to take down the banking system. What could the CIA possibly have in as far as its interests? Because its interests are protecting the U.S. government gang. That's what they do, supposedly. Now, of course, they do that in their mind by going over and, you know, getting rid of dictators and replacing them with their own people and fomenting wars and doing all kinds of violent crap. And whatever other underhanded political maneuvering that they do, this Machiavellian stuff.
But the U.S. government is not one that they want to bring down.
No, that's their bread and butter. So, like, why would they want to undermine potentially, first of all, they wouldn't know for sure it would ever take off. But why would they want to potentially undermine the banking system in the United States? They're there to protect that establishment.
I mean, the banking system in the United States is the one paying the bills at CIA headquarters. So, yeah.
Ultimately.
And it's silly to think that, as you point out, Bitcoin, it's open source. Why would the CIA want that? Why would they want this technology that is meant specifically to undermine their entire financial system and the government that is held up by that financial system? That would be the last thing that CIA would ever want.
Yeah, so Satoshi Nakamoto is an enemy of the state, which, as we discussed last night, is why he or she is not Craig Wright, who apparently loves governments and loves the idea of state regulation and working with the status and all that. So, I mean, the CIA is the state, and they have their allegiances are clear.
Yeah, and it's not to freedom and individualism and an individual having the right to control their own financial freedom.
If they could figure out who Satoshi Nakamoto was, they'd kidnap him or her and torture him.
Regrettably,
that's what they do.
And that may be why we've never heard from Satoshi. same here. 603-283-6160. You're invited to join. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Direct and straightforward.
That's how National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan describes President Biden's roughly two-hour video call with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
He reiterated America's support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Sullivan adding that President Biden warned Putin regarding those troops and what happens if Russia invades Ukraine.
If Russia further invades Ukraine, the United States and our European allies would respond with strong economic measures.
The drop in productivity in the third quarter is more significant than what was originally reported. In November, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reporting it was down by 5%. But according to revised data, it fell by 5.2%, making it the largest drop since 1960. This is USA Radio News. Today we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice during the attack on Pearl Harbor.
It was 80 years ago. The United States was forced into World War II.
Yesterday, December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Although most people associate the term D-Day with the Normandy invasion on June 6, 1944, it is military code for the beginning of any offensive operation. In the Pacific theater during World War II, there were more than 100 D-Days. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Netflix, Disney Plus, and many high-profile sites are offline due to an Amazon server issue. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You're invited to take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to do that, that's 603-283-6160. And with you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And nobody is... I was told he recently changed his name back to Rich Paul, actually. So that makes things easier for me.
No, what I heard was he got a trade name. Which basically means that...
That's even funnier.
You can, for people that don't know, you can register with the Secretary of State's office and have a trade name that you can do business as and then, like, open a bank account in that name, that kind of thing. So if he gets a check from somebody in the name of Rich Paul, he can't do anything with it.
Right.
When his name is legally nobody. So now that he has a trade name for Rich Paul, he can run for office and still be nobody. You can still vote for nobody, but he could receive a check from somebody under his old name and deposit it in a bank account.
I've always known him as Rich, so I've always called him Rich. And yeah. I've never really had any issue with that because he didn't either. But I'm happy to know that I can now call him Rich Paul and it will at least have some association with him. I didn't realize that he got a trade name as Rich Paul. I thought he changed his name back. The trade name thing makes it so much funnier.
It is fun.
So anyway... He's not allowed to be on the air with us at the moment, but Bonnie has been going through some old videos that contain him digging out quotable things that he has said in the past, and I like this one a whole lot. Skyrim is a game? I always thought it was like the third level of the Mal High Club.
And I like that because I like the game Skyrim. I didn't realize, but it's almost a decade old at this point.
Yeah.
It's got one of the longest legacies. And I know that just makes Bethesda so angry.
What do you mean?
Well, they have this almost 10-year-old game that people are still playing religiously, mm-hmm. and they're not making a dime from it.
Right, because it was back when that came out, it wasn't one of those. They didn't have that whole microtransaction thing in the gaming industry like they do now, where every single, I don't know if it's every game, I don't play games that much anymore, but where it seems like in a lot of games they're trying to nickel and dime the players to the point where it's not just $60 to buy a game, it's $60 and then $5 here and $5 there and $10 here, and before you know it, you've spent $200 playing this $60 game.
And I suspect we're going to see exactly that with the Elder Scrolls 6 just because they don't want to risk this happening again.
Mm.
But time will tell on that because I don't think we're going to see Elder Scrolls. We'll go to trial before they actually release Elder Scrolls 6. But let's go to the phones. We have Chris calling from New Hampshire. Chris, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thanks for taking my call.
Ooh, gotcha.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
How does the CIA topple fledgling democracies? They need money. And they've gotten caught red-handed moving money around multiple times. So if they're going to be successful in the future doing what they do, they need a way to move money around that nobody can figure out money's moving around.
Well, then that's not Bitcoin.
Do that. Why isn't that Bitcoin?
Because Bitcoin is completely public.
But it's anonymous.
No, it's not really.
The code is public, but it's anonymous.
No, it's not. I don't know where you've heard that about Bitcoin, but that's just false. Bitcoin can be used in what's called a pseudonymous sort of manner, meaning that anyone who creates a Bitcoin wallet on a non-custodial service, like, say, Edge Wallet or Exodus Wallet or something like that, no one necessarily knows that you've done so, but every Bitcoin transaction is publicly viewable and publicly traceable. And so, no, it is not an anonymous currency. There are anonymous currencies like Monero, for instance, or Pirate Chain, and these other privacy coins, but those came years later.
Okay, so if you get in on the ground floor, you manipulate where it's going, you control it, you don't let it take over the bank industry, which Bitcoin is not in any position to take over just yet. I think there's more there to than just being dismissive with it.
I don't know that I agree. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Chris.
To barely hear him.
Yeah, as you pointed out, Ian, all of these transactions are ultimately traceable back to an individual, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think they probably will at some point have the technology to trace Bitcoin blockchain access to individual IP addresses or at least MAC addresses.
Don't they already have that?
I don't know. But if they can tie it to your IP address or your MAC address, and they mm-hmm. can tie it to your phone, and they can tie it directly to you.
I mean, that's true.
There are Bitcoin mixers and stuff like that that sort of help mitigate the problem. But, yeah, Bitcoin isn't a privacy coin. That's why privacy coins exist.
Correct. Like, that's the one thing that Satoshi Nakamoto didn't do. He didn't even try to.
Possibly. I mean,
unless you think that Satoshi was behind Monero, and there is a theory that Satoshi created Monero as well.
I don't think it's impossible. I think it's likely that Satoshi could have created Bitcoin and was like, oh, okay, I didn't foresee this particular flaw or that particular flaw, mm-hmm. and so I'm going to create something distinct that is built on the same technology but different that mitigates those problems. And that could be how we got Monero. I don't know that.
Well, Monero, as I understand it, is built on a whole new technology. It's called CryptoNote. And it is one of the few cryptocurrencies out there that is actually not based on Bitcoin's original code. Most cryptos...
Well, I meant blockchain-based.
Sure, it's blockchain-based. But most, just for listeners that may not know this, most cryptocurrencies out there started with Bitcoin as their basis. They took the Bitcoin code, and they changed something or a bunch of things, and then they put their own iteration out, and they called it something different. So, like Litecoin or Dash or, you name a bunch of them, they probably... There's probably more now that haven't done that than ever before, but Monero was one of the first to do it based on what's called CryptoNote, which is totally something like that was written from scratch. There's not like Bitcoin code in Monero, as I understand it. I'm not a programmer. That's just my understanding of the sort of the history of Monero. So it's interesting, and some people theorize that it was actually Satoshi Nakamoto who wrote Monero, and they based that on the fact that Monero's author is also anonymous. There's been some people who've sort of been the public face of Monero over the years, like a guy named Fluffy Pony, but he's just like a maintainer. He's just a programmer right. who's worked on the project. He wasn't the creator of it.
And allegedly, there are linguistic similarities between the two white papers.
That's what people say. Now, whether that was done on purpose, and it wasn't actually Satoshi Nakamoto who wrote it, but it was somebody who wanted it to look like it was Satoshi Nakamoto, so therefore they adopted some of Satoshi's, you know, linguistics. Flair or whatever. Who
sure.
knows?
I mean, the world will never know. That's the whole point. Like, Satoshi Nakamoto is anonymous. Bitcoin,
yes.
not so
no,
much.
It's not.
But there's a reason to get into cryptocurrency, and I would suggest that that is because the billionaire's share of global wealth has only soared during the COVID-19, quote, pandemic. And it's no surprise to hear that, with governments doing everything they can to give massive amounts of taxpayer money and just money that they're creating out of thin air to anyone who has a pulse or a promise to end the COVID-19 problems or a new way of locking down or a new thing to inject into people, just giving them countless billions of dollars. Pfizer's making record profits. Moderna's mm-hmm. making record profits. AstraZeneca, all of these companies, most of which weren't even household names. I mean, sure, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, we knew who they were yep. 3 or 4 years ago, but they weren't names that we heard on a daily basis. And now they certainly are, and the government is just giving them massive amounts of money. People don't seem to realize that those vaccines that are free at the pharmacy, that's in quotation marks for those not watching on video, aren't free. It's just that the government is paying for them. And to do that,
which means tax dollars are paying for them and or they're printing the money.
It's one of the two, absolutely, mm-hmm. and it's just making the dollar weaker, and as a result, cryptocurrency, gold, silver are only going to get stronger as a result of
this. I think that's a fair prediction. I tend to agree with you on that, but obviously we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. There could be, you know, there could be a big downturn in crypto that starts tomorrow and lasts for years. We've had that happen before, you know, where it was after 2017, the price of Bitcoin ran up to like $19,000. It was at that time a record high, and then it plummeted down to, I think, as low as like $3,000 to $5,000 and kind of like floated around the $5,000 to $10,000 range for a few years after that.
I remember speculating that I expected Bitcoin to hit $500
at that time.
Yeah. Going down. Of course, I was way wrong.
You were wrong, thankfully.
But hey, been wrong before, I'll be wrong again.
But if you were right, it would have been a great time to buy.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go that low in this particular dip. And, of course, this particular dip may be over. No one knows what the future holds, but we can be reasonably sure that the USD is not a good investment. It's not a good store of value.
No,
you shouldn't
was.
Have any of your wealth in USD. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
About whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And it's Christmas time, allegedly. That's what I hear. It seems to me like it's like 18 days too early for Christmas time. But sure, let's let the Christmas people have the entire month of December if that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of families are going into debt. We talked about this last week. They're actively going into debt in order to buy slightly reduced amounts of Christmas gifts. I think last year or the year before, it was an average of
just over $1,000.
Yeah, and this year it's just under $1,000. So it's like slightly less, but not meaningfully so.
That's right.
I'm not into the whole, as we talked about then, the whole obligatory gift giving and receiving kind of thing. If I see something that I think someone will like, I will just buy it for them because, hey, this is a person I like and this is a thing I think they will like.
And you don't have to wait until December to do that.
No, you can do it any time.
Yeah.
Right. And it shows your friend, hey, this friend is thinking about me at a random time. That's
right.
Great. Instead of, oh, this friend fulfilled their societal obligation to get me a pair of socks this year. Thanks, friend. But not everyone sees it that way. And despite the inflation that we're seeing throughout the world, many Americans are, despite being worried about it, they're still spending just massive amounts of money on this tradition.
Sure.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. Does it have any quotes, the article that you have that enlightens us on what these people are thinking?
Well, Americans have not made a lot of sense financially for as long as we've been doing this show. I mean, we've talked for years about the tremendous debt loads and debt levels that Americans have individually, whether it be credit card debt or, you know, college loans, you know, you name it. Some debt can be constructive to some extent. Like, you know, if you buy a house, you can live in it. But,
sure.
You know, you can't live in your college loan and your credit card debt, for instance. But,
you know, I'm stunned by this whole college loan thing. When I first heard about, because I didn't take out college loans, I just went on grants and scholarships and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I first heard about student loans and how crippling they are, I assumed people were racking up like $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 of debt.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's like
$24,000 in debt.
50, 100, somewhere in that range, yeah.
Yeah, everyone I know, they're between $20,000 and $30,000 in student debt, and a lot of those have master's degrees. So I'm just not clear on why this is so crippling to people. I understand that's a lot of debt, and you shouldn't be able to, you were unwise to just take on that massive amount of debt so you could get your degree in gender studies.
I don't know what the average, it'd be interesting to find out what the average college loan debt is, because it's got to be up.
That's true.
It's got to be up, right? Because college hasn't gotten cheaper over time. It's become more expensive, and that's because of, you know, government and all their ridiculous mandates and restrictions, and basically the colleges have carte blanche to just raise their costs, and you know they're still going to get people to walk through the doors.
The average debt at graduation for a four-year degree is $25,921.
Okay. All right.
Which, I mean, it sounds like a lot, sure, but that should be easily paid off in 10 years if you have a decent job.
Now, do college loans charge interest?
That's true.
I presume they do. But I don't know. Like,
well,
I said,
they shouldn't. Isn't that the whole point of them being guaranteed by the government or whatever? Is that the government doesn't need to charge you interest?
Yeah, but aren't most
of them going to because they're... I don't know.
I don't either.
Would a private company give an 18-year-old kid? Oh, sure. It's $25,000. You want to major in advanced biochemistry for monkeys that live in South Africa? Absolutely.
Well, they might, because aren't college loans the one loan you can't get rid of in bankruptcy?
Yes.
Right. So that's one reason why they would do it, right? Because, well, you got to pay this. There ain't no walking away from it.
That's true.
And there are government college loans.
And you're guaranteed to get one of these loans if you just apply for one.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never applied for one.
Yeah, me neither. But I've heard people, you know, in the stories we've talked about before with in previous episodes of Free Talk Live regarding college loans, some of these people are paying like, you know, $1,500 a month on these loans. And
that is excessive.
That is a lot of money. I mean, if you're trying to make ends meet, it's going to be hard to make those payments and actually, you know, do anything except eat beans and rice.
Yeah, I would expect an average of these to be like $1,500 a year toward paying it down. You know, maybe a 20-year payoff or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I don't know. I never got one out, so.
But Americans have just been historically terrible at finance. And
oh, yeah. Half of Americans live paycheck to paycheck and have no savings. Americans are terrible with money.
Well, and as somebody, I forget who it was that pointed it out. I think it was actually Bonnie one night pointed out, it's partially the government's fault because the government makes the financial situation just so gloomy. I mean, it's just so bad. You know, they debase the money by printing constantly and making it worth less and less over time. They regulate the hell out of business, which of course, you know, increases costs and makes it more difficult to be profitable. Makes it harder to pay people well if you can't, you know, actually make money at what you do. They regulate the economy that makes it so poor people can't get a leg up and they can't create their own business. You know, that's one thing that really hurts people, especially those people who are the least well off are harmed the most by regulations because
they don't have the attorneys. We've seen stories in San Francisco and San Diego and other ultra-liberal cities of, like, homeless people who started shining shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they had enough money to buy an apartment. They kept shining shoes until the city goons came knocking at the door and said, hey, no, you're not licensed to do this. You've got to get back out there and go back to being homeless.
Yeah, you need a permit for that. Well, how do I get a permit? Well, you can't get one. We've sold out. You know, just that kind of crap.
That's the true nature of government regulation. You just blow that up and extrapolate it to the entire society, and that's why we are in the situation that we're in.
Yeah, there's so many people who they have the talent. Like, let's say they can cook. For instance, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who can cook really well that they get sick and tired of working for somebody. They're working at a restaurant. They're working their ass off, all just so they can enrich the owner of the restaurant, right? Because whenever you work for a job, you're just working to make the owner of that company wealthier. And ultimately, that's not the best thing you can do for you. The best thing you could do for you would be to start your own thing. And
well, for a lot of people. I would suggest the best thing they could do for themselves is to work for themselves.
Yes, but the problem is the system isn't designed for that. So somebody's working in a restaurant for years and they figure, you know what, I'm going to strike out on my own. I can do this. I've learned the ropes. I know how to do this. I can open my own restaurant. Except because they've been living paycheck to paycheck, they don't have a whole lot of money, you know, that they can just go and rent some big building and then, you know, renovate it with whatever stuff that they need to renovate with. And, you know, before you know it, you're into $200,000, $300,000 just to open the doors on some sort of new restaurant. They could, if there were, like, freedom, they could just set up some tables and chairs in their dining room or their family room or whatever, and invite friends and neighbors and whatever. Hey, tonight we're going to be cooking, you know, jambalaya or, you know, you name it, whatever, and invite people over, have a menu, have a you know, hours and that sort of thing. But no, there's a health code minister who's going to come along and threaten you with violence if you do that because you didn't get the government permission slip and you might be poisoning people and we need the government to keep people safe. And, well, you haven't jumped through all these. Well, you might point out, well, I'm being safe. I know how to be. You know, I've been ServSafe certified. I know how to not handle, you know, chicken and, you know, wash my hands and do all these things that I've been doing for years inside these professional restaurants. But no, because you didn't jump through the governmental hoops, now you're facing jail time. And so, I mean, that's how somebody could start from scratch and start, you know, cooking for people and actually making money at doing it. Because it doesn't cost a lot to cook for people, right? Just food costs. Yep. You know, you put your time in, you buy the food, you make money. And that's exactly what the existing restaurants don't want you to do. The people who've been in the restaurant industry and who've been paying taxes for decades and who've been, you know, by the books, they've been obeying the governmental rules and jumping through the hoops. They don't want people just opening up their own kitchens and opening up their own restaurants in their homes. That's a threat. And so they'll use the state to put a stop to it. So there's so many people out there that would love to start their own business. Poor people who would love to do that, but they're deathly afraid of doing so because they don't want to get raided.
I seem to recall I had a friend who wanted to open a restaurant here in Keene, and he was held back because it was going to cost like $20,000-something just to get approved by the city of Keene to do it. That's not getting up to their health code or anything like that. Just $20,000 just to get started on jumping through all of their hoops. It's like no one working in a kitchen who actually is qualified to make good food has $20,000 just lying around.
And this may be one of the reasons why Americans are so bad with finance. So, I mean, I'm giving examples of why the circumstances are bad to begin with, but then secondly, each individual is still responsible for their spending habits.
Absolutely.
And maybe one of the reasons why somebody might be really bad with spending habits, like, you know, a lot of people in the hospitality industry going out drinking heavily, constantly doing drugs or whatever, maybe that's because they realize they have no hope of ever starting their own thing, or at least that's the way they feel, so F it, they're just going to spend all their money.
Tragic if that's the case. But what are your thoughts? Why do people despair and fall into drugs and alcohol and things like that? 603-283-6160.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.